All right, welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We have a lot of people coming in, so in the future, just hold your horses. It's a lot of people trying to come in at the same time, all over the United States, in the Caribbean, in Israel, in Guatemala, in South America, in Brazil, in Canada, in Chile, in Italy, in Mozambique, in Jamaica, in the United States. So we have people everywhere. All right. We got Chaplain John Durden here. How to hear the voice of God with the next 1 hour and 50 minutes. There'll be no questions and answers. We give you Chaplain John Durden. Hello.
Hello. You ready for me?
Yeah, I just introduced you. 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Okay, here I go. Good evening, everybody. Again, this is Brother John. Some call me Brother John, some call me Chaplain John. Tonight, I was asking the Holy Spirit what I should talk about. You know, because last night I was talking about the kingdom of God, our heavenly home. Yeah, that was really interesting. I enjoyed it myself after doing all that study. It talks about heaven, the home of the Savior. Well, tonight, I felt led by the Holy Spirit to talk about recognizing the voice of God. I want to identify the different means and ways God speaks to us. You know, he speaks to us sometimes through himself, the Father. Sometimes he speaks to us through his Son, Christ Jesus of Nazareth. And sometimes he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. But before I get into that, I just want to introduce myself to those who don't know me. I have, with respect to education, I have 3 master's degrees. I have 1 in human resources. That means personnel administration, where working for the federal government for 30 years, hiring people for federal employment. Again, had a master's degree in human resources, and that's personnel administration, where I recruited people for federal employment for 30 years. And then God called me into the ministry and went to seminary, and I was there for 3 years. And after I completed 2 years, I received a master's in Christian counseling. And after the third year, I received a master's degree in theology. And as a result of the theology degree, I was hired as a chaplain at one of the major hospitals here in Atlanta I did it for 20 years. So 30 years as a human resources director, hiring people for federal jobs, and 20 years as a hospital chaplain. Let's see if anything else I want to say informally. Okay. Before I get into the session, let me go into prayer. Let us pray. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come to you, and I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I pray that the Holy Spirit empowers me to teach your word with clarity, simplicity, and boldness. And may our minds be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. And I pray that in the spirit of truth move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord in vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son. And I pray that your words will bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence this evening. It is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Again, I just want to share some thoughts with you about hearing the voice of God, because I guess we all really want to hear it, because it's more than we have as written words. All we have is written word. God speaks to us through his written word. But God also wants to speak to us vocally, not just reading the book, but he wants to sit down and have a chit-chat with him sometimes. Sometimes he'd be trying to communicate with us, but we don't recognize his voice. And tonight I'm going to kind of share the different ways God speaks to us, and maybe you would recognize it the next time. Hopefully you'll be able to recognize his voice. Let's see what I want to do. Okay, what I want to do is just share scriptures. You know, and what I'm about to talk about just dawned on me. When we talk about the first, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we look at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and it talks about how the Spirit ministered to us. You know, he says, some I give the word of wisdom, some I give the word of knowledge, and some I give discernment. Some I give the gift of prophecy, and some I give the gift of tongues. These are different methods how God speaks to us. Sometimes he speaks to us through our thoughts. You know, sometimes God would speak to us through an angel. Sometimes God would speak to him himself. And sometimes Jesus, and sometimes the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It's amazing. I've taught it, catch it, that when he's speaking to us, when the Holy Spirit is speaking, because sometimes I recognize he speaks to us in our thoughts. And if anything you don't remember this, that sometimes the Holy Spirit will be speaking us through our thoughts. Sometimes we look on and say, hey, John, I need you to do this. Or John, my son, I'm displeased with that. John, I'm pleased with this. No, he speaks to us through our thoughts. And sometimes that's kind of hard to distinguish when he's speaking to us in our thoughts, because, I mean, you know, you still have that same sound and everything else, like your real thoughts when you think about yourself. But I finally realized, and he brought to my attention, is that the mind is the battlefield, okay, is the devil. And that's how he gets get us to do things, because he put thoughts into our mind. And I want you to know this, because you're thinking something that's not necessarily yours. You know, sometimes you may say, I don't know why I keep thinking about this all the time. Maybe I need to do this. Oh, how come I'm always thinking about this? I'm supposed to be thinking about this. I'm supposed to be a Christian. How come I'm thinking about giving this person this money? What's wrong with me? You're too kind of holy. I'll go visit this person. I go, huh? Well, I'm thinking about going to visit this person that way across town. So we got to recognize that every thought that comes into your head is not necessarily yours. Every thought that comes into your mind is not yours. And I just thought that just because I am thinking it, it is me. I repeat that again. I thought just because I am thinking it, it is me, not necessarily. Like I said, the mind is the battleground for demonic spirits as well as Satan himself. And you can tell when somebody speaks to us in our mind, it's about three things speaking to us. It could be Jesus himself, or it could be the Holy Spirit speaking to us, or it could be Satan speaking to us, or it can be a demonic spirit speaking to us, or the world, or the flesh. Thing with these voices, I was breaking in three parts. It could be God. When I say God, it could be the Holy Spirit of Jesus. It could be the demons talking to you. Come, don't you like her? She's fine. Why don't you see if you can go to bed with her, or go to bed with him, or he's fine. And something make you want to cheat on your spouse. Whatever, something make you want to shoplift because you look good and the man not looking. So I say, oh, go ahead and put it in. He's not looking, these kinds of things. So we got to recognize, just because you're thinking it, you say, well, I am. I'm thinking such a thing like that. And it's not necessarily your thought, sir, ma'am. And that was a lot of hard learning for me, because I thought every time I thought of something, I didn't think of no devil talking to me, some spiritual being talking to me. You know, and I didn't think about my flesh talking to me. I didn't think about what my flesh talking. My flesh is just my flesh that covers my bones, you know, stuff. But I never thought that your flesh, when I say flesh, your mind, your thoughts, is not necessarily your flesh. I want to eat some of this. I want to try some of this dope because I felt good when I tried it the first time, these kinds of things. So it's the flesh desiring, and before you know it, you're hooked on that drug or whatever it may be. So when you're thinking something, please, folks, if you don't remember anything else I said, don't think because you're thinking it, that's you, not necessarily. It could be the Lord talking to you, or it can be the Holy Spirit talking to you, or it can be your flesh talking to you, or the world talking to you. So you got to learn to decipher these different voices. Now, with that being said, I want to touch on scriptures. I'm just going to read an outline of the scripture. And one way God speaks to us is he speaks to us, and I'm going to get in specifics. He gives us word of wisdom. That's when you all of a sudden you think about, how can I handle this problem? I don't know what to do about this. So I want you to know that God speaks through the word of wisdom. And this is a gift that is supernatural revelation or insight into divine will and purpose. And seeing God give us the spirit, sometimes we think, oh, I didn't know how. All of a sudden, you know how to resolve a problem, a situation you're having. Your child, a friend, you'll say, honey, what would you do in a case like this? I just don't know, you know. So, and all of a sudden, you say, well, let's pray about it. And then all of a sudden, wisdom comes into your thoughts. You know, and say, hey, I know how we can handle this problem. Well, it's not your brilliant mind. It's that, you see, you pray it. And the Holy Spirit is giving you these thoughts. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in thoughts. He'll say, hey, Mary, you asked me a question, so I'll tell you how to handle this problem. But no, it doesn't happen that way. All of a sudden, you say, hey, I got an idea how this can work. Well, that idea is God's thought, or the Holy Spirit's thoughts, communicating with you, telling you how to resolve that problem. Okay? So sometimes he speaks us through the word of wisdom. When you need to know something, you need a wisdom, and he will let you know how to resolve that problem. Okay? Another way he speaks to us is through the gift of knowledge. And this is another message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you supernatural information concerning a person, a place, a thing, so that we can pray about it and receive instruction. Let me repeat that again. Sometimes God will give you a word of knowledge. When I say knowledge, I mean tell you about somebody. For example, he can give you names of people. You go, I wonder what that person's name. Boom, he comes up. You say, Lord, I don't remember that person. What is that? It's really important that I reach that person again. Could you please tell me? And all of a sudden, that thought would come into your mind. And then say, for example, I say, give the word of knowledge. Say, for example, you lost your car keys. You lost something around the house. Your cell phone. You go, oh, my God. And you say, Lord Jesus, could you please tell me where I left that thing? And he accepts that. You know, you say, that sounds silly. I ain't never asked him. Yeah, we're supposed to ask him because the Holy Spirit has the gift of the word of knowledge. He will tell you the names of people when you guys say, oh, Lord, I can't remember that person called me, and I promise I'll call him back at such and such a time, and I forgot the name of the person. Well, all you got to do is say, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to please remind me, who was that I was supposed to call? Where did I put my car keys? See? So not only Holy Spirit will communicate to you through your mind the names of people, but he will also tell you where lost items are found around the house, where you don't know where it is. Sometimes you look around the house, you may have left it in the car. Like me, in my case, I couldn't find it. I looked this house inside, I couldn't find it. Then finally, I quit being stubborn and prayed to the Holy Spirit. I said, could you please tell me, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, where I left my keys? So, you know, and then I said, go look in your ashtray in the car, you know, because that's where I put my keys when I be driving sometimes. Okay, word of wisdom, he would tell you about people, who's true, who's righteous, where you can find items. Then he would also tell you, speak to your thoughts, give thoughts to you to tell you who really playing you for a fool and who isn't. Is she really my friend? Is he really my friend? Does he or she really like me? And not really. They probably like you for a reason you don't want that relationship. And then the Holy Spirit will tell you about address. You need to know where somebody lives, and you forgot the address and everything else, and you misplaced that little pad. So you can ask the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you that kind of thing. And sometimes somebody might be having secrets about you. You're talking about you in secrets and everything else. And if God sees it going to be a harm to you, he can be warning you, you know, and if you haven't learned, have grown into hearing the Holy Spirit, you might be missing out on what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you. So 1 Corinthians 12:8 says, to us he gives a message of knowledge by means of the Holy Spirit. That's how he speaks to us. So again, like I say, he'll tell you about where you can find things that you lost, who's your enemy. He can tell you about address, like you need to find somebody's address and you forgot it, misplaced a note. He'll tell you where that is. That's relevant to us today, not just the first disciples. Also, another way he speaks to us is through the gift of discerning of spirits. And that is, he'll let you recognize who's speaking to you, you know, because sometimes the devil or demon trying to get you to go back on drugs and get you to go to bed with somebody who's not your spouse, these kinds of things. And the Holy Spirit will warn you, say, that's not your flesh. Or maybe that's your flesh, boy, a woman. Sit down, cool off, go take a shower, you know, something. But we have to learn how to discern spirits. And sometimes these thoughts come in, not just your thoughts. Say, go give this person's money, they need it. Go visit this person is sick and ill, these kinds of things. Well, I'm thinking about going and seeing Sister So-and-so, but she's a little bit close. I ain't feel like driving. But who knows? Maybe you could have stopped somebody from committing suicide by visiting. You go in there and you can cheer up somebody who may be thinking about it, you know, just don't know what to do with themselves, about to run away from home. Who knows? So the gift of discerning of spirits. This is a supernatural revelation or insight into the realm of the spirit. And the purpose is to detect in their plans and the minds of men. Now, the discerning of spirits tells the difference between three voices. Hear what I say? I'm just coming up with what I just said a few minutes ago. The discerning of spirits tells the difference between the three voices and influences in our lives. Number one, the Spirit of God, a voice, God through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, or the voice of God, can speak through the Holy Spirit, okay? Another way, human spirit, a voice of self, of others. Let me repeat that again. The discerning of spirits tells the difference between the three voices. They can tell you whether the Lord is speaking to you, or your flesh talking to you, or the devil is talking to you. That's the gift of discerning that God gives each other. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, you find all these gifts. And these are different means of how God speaks to us. And so, you know, when you're free, not doing too much, when you can go to your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, you know, and you would see the different, it's called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit give us different gifts, you know. So these gifts really is a revelation of how God communicates to us. Let me tell you that again. These gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it tells you the different ways how God communicates with us. Then you have another gift that God gave us to communicate with us. And I'm going to go into specific detail, but I'm just giving you an overhead of each one. Another way God speaks to us is the gift of prophecy. And you hear somebody prophesying kind of thing. The gift of prophecy is a speaking gift as well. And the purpose of it is to build us up and to cheer us up and to say something, give us a message that we need to be known about. Also, the gift of prophecy, you know how that's used to? It strengthens us, because the Holy Spirit will tell you something, because he knows where you're failing at. He knows your feelings, whether it's positive or negative. And the Holy Spirit can speak to you through the gift of prophecy. That's when he would speak through himself, or he'd get somebody to speak to you. It's a child. The Lord told me to call you and told you and tell you so and so. Wow, honey, that came just in time. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about doing this and that and that. And, hey, you come calling. I know that's the Lord. I know that's the Lord, kind of a thing. And so the gift of prophecy, that's when God used somebody to speak to you. And that's the Lord speaking through that person to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to comfort you, see? And God is a prophetic spirit. I mean, he speaks prophetically through other Christians to tell you. So, child, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you so. And you come a child, that was the Lord. Prophecy is a miracle of divine utterance, of divine speaking, not conceived by human thought or reasoning. Let me say that over. And you get the gift of prophecy, somebody mentioning you through the gift of prophecy, what is happening is God is speaking to you through that person. And it's not that person's thought or reasoning. He's speaking what he or she is speaking, what God wants to share with you. In other words, when God is speaking to you through prophecy, when another person is speaking to you, I mean a godly person, what it means is that it's a miracle of divine utterance speaking. Not conceived by human thoughts, but it comes strictly from the Holy Spirit. And what's the purpose for it? Guess what? When he's speaking to you, it includes not human thoughts or reasoning. It includes speaking into edification, want to build you up. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through another person, it's to exhort you or to give you comfort, that kind of a thing. So God speaks through the gift of prophesying to believers. God speaks to every one of us who are believers, you know, through the prophetic messages. And again, when he speaks to us, it's to edify us, it's to exhort us, and it's to comfort us. And that's the person's purpose for it. And like I said, some other purposes, prophetic messages are usually for the purpose of edification of the body of Christ by building up in faith, or exhortation of the body of Christ by calling people nearer to God. It kind of exhorts you to really search and try to seek out God. And like I said, to comfort the body of Christ, or to convict and to convince us of sin. When you're thinking about doing some kind of thing, and all of a sudden somebody will call you, or the Holy Spirit may speak, say, we don't do that no more, kind of a thing. And you say, well, I'm thinking this. Well, sometimes we make the mistake and say, why am I thinking about this? You got to catch that thought, okay? Many of us will say that. Even me, sometimes I forget. I go, why am I thinking of this? Well, it's not I'm thinking of this. It's what the Holy Spirit thinking in your mind. And so that's how he communicates us. The Holy Spirit, I go, hey, Sally, just the Holy Spirit. How you doing today, buddy? I thought I'd stop and chit-chat with you a little bit. Well, how you doing? I understand you having a weakness or you having a problem, so on and so on. Know this thought's coming and says, I got an idea how I can do this. Yeah, I just thought of something. Mama, I just thought of, honey, I just thought of something. I know how we can handle this check or this bill or whatever. And you're thinking it's you. That was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit. So remember, when you're thinking of things and if some great idea come to you and everything else, that's the Holy Spirit communicating with you. We just got to learn to discern when it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, flesh speaking to us, or when it's the Lord speaking to us. And you know what else? When the Holy Spirit gives you the gift of prophecy, he will instruct you, tell you how to do a certain thing. He'll help you discern whether somebody is for real when he's talking to you, a phony. Just love to come by and say, I love you, and I don't know what I'm going to do without you. The Holy Spirit can give you the spirit of discernment where you know that Job is lying or that woman is lying. They just want your money and your attention and going out and partying, you know. All right. So another way God speaks to us is through tongues. In tongues, it's like God will use it through the pastor or the assistant pastor or the deacons or whoever have received the gift. And nobody will receive the gift of tongues unless they believe it, because, you know, he's still hearing all this, you know, he's teaching about tongues has ceased and it has not. Because I thought that too from the time I was knee-high to a turtle dove till I was 40. I always thought that tongues has ceased, you know. But that's because when people say that, they say it the wrong way. They'll tell you right quick, say, tongue has ceased. And I go, God, oh, boy, I bet the people had a lot of fun because God would speak to them. He could speak in different languages and stuff like that and communicate. And finally, I prayed about it because I was raised a Methodist for 20-some years. And then when I moved to Atlanta and became a Baptist because I married a Baptist wife, and then all of a sudden we have his written word, you know, kind of a thing. Well, don't get mad at your preacher or your pastor because he was telling you that, because he's telling you the same thing I was saying all those years, you know, because if you go into seminary, you know, in other words, if you go to college to get a degree in medicine to be a doctor, you learn about how the body functions and all that stuff, right? Well, when you go to be a pastor and you go to seminary, they teach in that Bible inside out, you know, all those prophets, you know, all the apostles, and you just know all the scriptures and all this other stuff, the Ten Commandments, you can break it down. But remember, the doctor is teaching you, doctor of theology. He's teaching you. And guess what? He's teaching you what he believes. Just like our parents when we're coming up, they teach us what we believe. They teach us what we believe. Because you got some race walking around telling all Negroes are dumb and stupid and these kinds of things. And we know that. So when those young kids grew up with that knowledge embedded into their spirit by their mama and daddy, and then when they look at us, they inferior to us. We higher than them. We smarter than them. They come from monkeys and all that crap. See, that's what they've been taught by their mom and daddy. And who would you believe? You believe mama more than anybody else. You believe daddy more than anybody else. So you got those folks growing up trying to keep themselves separated from us. It's like right now. They're trying to break the vote, do the harm to the voting registration now, so they can change it around so no more Negroes, Hispanics, and Chinese can win again. They're changing the regulation now and try to close all the mailboxes and everything, all the ways you can vote. They're trying to shut that down, you see, that kind of a thing. So the gift of tongues, I went to the Lord and said, Lord, is that I finally got tired of hearing it cease. But don't get me wrong now. A lot of ministers, and you don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. I'm going to get that straight right now. If you don't have tongues, you don't have tongues. Tongues is that God is speaking to you in a dialect language. You may be speaking to a Chinese person, a Spanish guy, a German guy, and God wants you to say something to that person, and God will say, speak to this person. And sometimes you may, I don't know. I don't understand German. I don't understand Spanish or French. God says, speak in tongues. Then you say, okay, Lord. And you can see the para sa. And then sometimes I might be in a cab going somewhere. I'll go on a business trip and as you like praying, you know, and I'd be praying low and I don't think anybody hear me. I go, Shikiriande, La Kata Poro Sikiri, Shikiriande. And a woman turned around and said, sir, excuse me. Aren't you African-American? I go, yes, I am. Well, you sure you're not mixed of Italian and African-American? I go, no, I'm pure African-American. So she said, well, how do you speak my language? You're speaking it fluently. I said, oh, I'm speaking in tongues. She said, I heard about that. Well, Abdo, that's my first time experiencing it. You were speaking fluent Italian. I said, yeah, what I was saying. Oh, you were just thanking Lord. She said, Lord, thank you. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for seeing me to this place safely. I could have had an airplane, you know, could have crashed, but you saw me here safely. And I thank you for healing my grandmama, you know, these kinds of things. She said, you were saying that? I said, I was saying all that. She said, yes, sir. You were speaking in my language. I said, Abdo, you know, kind of thing. So tongues has not ceased, but those who preach it, just go talk to the Lord. It hasn't, because, like I said, from the time I was a baby to the time I was 40, if he'd have told me that tongue had ceased, I would agree with you 100%. And anybody who said otherwise, I'd have called them ignoramus kind of a thing. So folks teach what they've been taught. And if you're sitting under a man who's teaching at a seminary, been teaching there for 30 years and got all these doctorate degrees, and has a youngin' coming in there out of college, 21, 22 years old. I've been called to be a pastor, doctor. And the doctor say, well, come on, my son. And then you there stuck there for 3 years learning all his theology and everything else. Well, he's going to teach what he's been taught. So when a man told me, we have his written words, I thought he knew what he was talking about. He wasn't doing it purposely. He didn't know he was doing an error. That's the way he's been taught. It's like, mama, she tell you 1 and 1 is 2. You know, if she tell you 1 and 1 is 5, and she taught you all them years, and you're going to believe mama, you know. And that's what's happened with the racist stuff. And parents are teaching their children not to mingle with us, that we low life and all that other kind of stuff, see? Okay, so there's different ways God speaks to us, and I want to really get into it personally. Now, do you know, when I was trying to hear the Lord had a little note for me. The Lord preached to me. I got it somewhere. Where did I put it, John? Where did you put it? Where is it? Where? When you know it, I misplaced it. I had a little note that I got from the Lord. Oh, yeah, I found it. There it is. The Lord, when I was first trying to hear God, I said, well, I know some people that can hear God. You know, I said, well, where's my middle name? And where's so-and-so? They'd tell me what it is. And sometimes God would tell me when I go home not to do so-and-so through that person. When I get there, I kind of find out that's exactly what happened. God may warn the pastor or the assistant pastor or one of the deacons, says, when you go home, don't go down such and such street, detour and go another street, you're going to be a serious car wreck. And I go, the Lord told you that? I say, yeah, Brother John. I said, yeah, okay. I'm glad I didn't say, nutcase, you're a fool. So I take another route. And guess what? And I find out when I get home on the TV, and they go 18, we ran into a car, and a lady and a child was killed right at the point where I would have gone at that point. So God had many ways of speaking to us. But when I decided I wanted to speak, I wanted to really want to hear the God. And finally, I was going through my old stuff, books that I bought years and years ago. I was buying a lot of them, but wasn't reading them. I had about, like, I don't know, about 200 or 300 or 400 books in the thing. And I think I read about 1 or 2. I'm just buying it for status. Look at these books. Look at all these. I'm a theologian. Look at all these books I got. And just read maybe 3 or 4 of them. But, you know, I've grown since. And I decided to pull the book out. And I felt, didn't know I was being led by the Spirit, because I was praying, God, is that really true? Can we hear you? I've been asking, let me hear you, but you've been ignoring me, I think. How come I can't hear you? And then I opened another, and I was led, not knowing that I was led by the Holy Spirit. I went to the side of my bookshelf, pulled this book out, and was talking about hearing the voice of God. And I go, what? So I grabbed the thing, but there was a little note inside. Folks, it was not my note. It was not my note. And this is what it says. When I opened it up and looked at it, this was a note, and it says this. I'm going to slow down so you can hear me clearly. Now, mind you, I think about hearing God, you know, and so on, so on, so on, so on. I said, does he really speak that? I'm going to check it out and say, hey, God, can you hear me? Jesus, can you hear me? Holy Spirit, can you hear me? Kind of thing. I said, I don't hear nothing. You know, I said, maybe it's true that we have his written word. God said, all right, I'm going to have to check John out. So I found a piece of paper, which I had in one of my old raggedy Bibles. And guess what the note said? It says this. I'm going to slow down so you can hear this. And I put an ink pen out right on top of the paper. I got a note from Jesus. a note from Jesus I got. And this is the note, and it says, Jesus at the end. It says, while going through some old spiritual books, I said, and some of my old devotionals, I discerned these words printed, I discovered these words printed on one of my old Bibles. Old Bibles. It was like 10 years old. It was written as a letter which read, and here it is. This is what the letter said, folks. It says this, John, my son, I still speak to any child of mine who will humble his or herself and listen. And listen to this. I do not shout over the daily turmoil sounds of the average household. Let me repeat that. I do not shout or scream over the daily noise and stuff and sounds of the average household. My voice is not weak, but it is quiet, it is calm and severe. It takes complete surrender on your part before you can hear it. That surrender must be complete with respect to your soul, that's your mind, your body, and your spirit. And then I say, I look at it again and say, to hear my voice, it takes complete surrender. Surrender, y'all, not churchy on Sunday and hellish on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. Churchy on Sunday, cussing folks out, beating folks up, cheating, shoplifting, fornicating, adultery, and all that stuff, and cussing, well, we'll never hear it. He said, it takes complete surrender, John, on your part before you can hear my voice. That surrender must be complete. And he had in parentheses, soul, body, and spirit, all three parts of you, boy. I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me who hear my voice. Let me say that again. I do not answer casual inquiries. It's only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me who hear my voice, not the excitement seekers or the stubborn fool who sets out to prove or disapprove my ability and willingness to talk. I do not answer casual inquiries. Lord, do you still speak that today? It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me, serious about it, and persistent, who hear my voice. Not the excitement seekers to prove that I can and cannot speak to people nowadays, or the stubborn fool who sets up, you know, to prove or disapprove their understanding, ability and willingness to talk. My God. And then it goes, I got a second page. And then it says this too. God does not show fear. He said, I do not show favoritism to any person because of his or her heritage, or his or her reputation, or her or his position or accomplishment. I see and evaluate your heart, your inner person, and I give you rest. And I seek your heart sincerely. And I can discern your heart. I know what you're thinking. For you must love me with all your heart, soul, and spirit. You must believe and have faith in me. And you must have a pure life without sin to hear my voice. Moreover, you know what? God does not prefer. Well, this is what he said. This piece of the, bottom of the page. Moreover, God does not. He said, I put God, but he said, moreover, I do not prefer the love and fellowship and prayers of the educated. Let me say that again. Because a lot of people brag and say, I got three doctors read, I got three this, I got four of this, you know. And I'm this kind of a 100 bishop or three triple crown bishop and stuff like that. He says, let me tell you what he says. He says, moreover, God does not prefer the love, fellowship, and prayers of the educated more than the poor or the powerful or the uneducated. Let me read that again. Because, boy, sometimes when I be teaching, just sharing the word, and some will call me and tell me, now, you be careful what you say. I'm monitoring you. And I guess, I'm so afraid. I'm shaking in my boots, you know. See, moreover, God does not prefer the love, the fellowship, and prayers of the educated more than the poor or the powerful or uneducated. He accepts all from every nation who fears him. That's the key. who fears him and do not what is wrong or unrighteous. I got to say that one more time. God said, I do not, John, prefer a love, a fellowship, and answer prayers of somebody who got all these degrees more than someone who don't have these degrees. What I look at is I look at their heart, their spirit, and their soul. See, they really accept me, really want to hear me, really want to communicate with me, really love me. I don't need no braggadocious, you know, a big head. I don't need someone with all these rings and diamonds and everything on. That does not impress me. Does he or she know my word? And I say, praise the Lord. Let me see, this is the last little thing I got down here. Yeah, I got, once a person turns his or her life over to Jesus Christ, it is no longer business as usual. It means walking by faith, which includes opening yourself to the miracles and the ministry of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants. That's who he communicates with. I'm trying all these years, I still can't hear him. And then you check your body, soul, and spirit, check yourself out. See, kind of thing, because God is no fool, and God didn't die for the hell of it, you know. So he asked his dad and said, don't let me go through this, please, Father. Don't, please, don't, no. He begged his father three times. And each time he got a negative response to say, okay, not my will, but yours, Father. And he went through that mess, you know, kind of thing. But if he hadn't gone through it, we wouldn't have been saved, because an unrighteous person can't die for an unrighteous person. The person has to be holy, righteous, like Jesus. Righteousness is the one that wipes away the sin from us. When it removes from us, it's only when we accept Christ as personal Lord and Savior. You're not saved, Jesus said, to say this. I didn't claim to say this, but just a thought to come here, so I know that's the Holy Spirit say. Just because somebody says, well, I believe in Jesus. I ain't got no problem. I'm not ignorant. And God said, just tell him, say, well, the devil believes in Jesus too, and me, and tremble. And that's scripture. The devil believes in Jesus. So what? He's back going to hell too. Because what? He got kicked out of heaven because he tried with all that pride and everything. Tell me he's going to be bigger than Jesus, going to have his little heaven, his little hunchos, and his followers and stuff like that. And God had to kick his butt out. And then like a fool, Satan talked to some of them, a third angel, hey, y'all follow me. He kicked me out. I'm going to make y'all leaders. I'm going to make y'all this. I'm going to give y'all these kinds of crowns. And I'm going to make y'all, I'm going to give y'all status. Y'all come on. Y'all going to be my leaders. Y'all going to be my managers and my zetas. And a third of those angels followed that lie and got their butts kicked out of heaven too. Pride. So the Bible say, before fall come pride. So I didn't have no idea that I was going to say that. Like I told the Lord, I said, now, you know, I said, I'm going to say what I studied in my books and reading stuff like that. But if you got something you want to say, feel free to speak to me. I'm open, you know. Because I remember sometime in the past, might use some of you all listening. I remember probably when some of y'all was preaching or teaching, and then when the thing was over, when it was closed, some of the congregation would pass. That was really cool. It was like, that was marvelous. You never spoke that good. I felt like you was talking directly to me. I felt like you must be spent the last 24 hours with me, because you said things that I thought was hidden and stuff like that in your teaching and stuff. It was mentioning those that I was thinking and kind of thing like that, you see. So God says he have no respect of persons, in other words. The only thing he looks at is do you truly love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Don't go to church on Sunday and go, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, kind of a thing. God said, please, give me a break. You know, kind of a thing. And then when you're off by yourself, then you hanky-panky kind of a stuff, you know, kind of thing. You'll never hear God's voice, and you'll never be able to receive the language, speaking in tongues, you know, kind of a thing. Because I remember when I finally asked the Lord. I quit asking all these folks, the tongue, you see. I got on my knees one night, and I was on my knees all night almost, so 4 or 5 hours, asking God to let me know. And then finally, he says, it's still relevant. But to those who love me and serve me with all their hearts, soul, and thing. So, man, I told a lot of folks what happened that night. They said, oh, John, you're just dreaming. That's what you want to hear, kind of thing. So I went home, all the way back down to the mountain to my sister, because she goes to a non-denominational church. And I said, sis, I need your help. She said, I said, do you believe in tongues? She said, yeah. She said, I don't go to I forget the name of the church she's going to. And so she says, I go to non-denominational now, you know. And then I go to a Baptist church too. Sometimes I said, Baptist? She said, yeah. That pastor speaking tongues, deacon speaking tongues and everything. And he give us revelation knowledge. God speaks to us through him. He is speaking tongues. And then maybe the one of the ladies in the church might get up and say, I know what you said, Pastor. The Lord gave me an interpretation. And what the lady said was exactly what there was, what the problem with the person he was talking to, kind of a thing. But like I said, a lot of us don't teach. Like I said, I told a guy he was stupid. Ain't no such thing as tongue nowadays. I said that to all reptiles. I was 40 until God had to correct my thinking. But like I said, I was taught that. So don't call me stupid, dumb, and everything else. You're gonna manifest. It's like white folks still think Negroes are insubordinate to them. You know, are subordinate to them, and inferior, and everything else. Like they're trying to change, or they don't think we should lead. They should tell us what to do. These kinds of things. Now, what else I want to say? Okay, so that's what the Lord told me. I got that people say it's still relevant, but the only person gonna get it who is serious and want to have a serious relationship with me, not somebody who want to prove. You know what? I challenged him. I ain't heard one thing. I've been asking every for the last 7 days. And I ain't heard a word, child. That's not, you don't speak that nowadays. That's because you ain't real. You really don't love him with all your heart. You can fool your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your best friend, your children. You can fool them, but you can't fool God. Because when you're thinking, guess what? It's like you hearing my voice, that's how he hears your thoughts. You can't hide your thoughts from him. And matter of fact, he's so powerful, he know what you're going to say. Boy, you say it. You see, so we can't pull no wool over his eyes and tell him, I've been trying, speaking tongues, I don't believe it because I've been trying for 6-7 months, child. I don't believe in that. God say, I'm not your idiot, child. I know your thoughts. It's like I'm talking to you all right now. Well, that's like I'm God hearing you all when y'all thinking things, you know, kind of a thing. Okay. Now I want to get into some serious stuff. The Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit is, we know what? It's the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But he's the third person, but remember, he's equal with the Father and the Son in essence. And since one of the major aspects of God's nature is that he is a person, he's a person. Some churches walk around talking, it's like electricity. When you want your TV on, something like that, you plug the plug in, and the TV come on, or you turn the volume up and things start speaking. Well, that's like what the Holy Spirit is. He's not a real person. It's like electricity. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak just like that. He just, how should I say it? How can I simplify it? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. It's like some religions say, some say there's only the Father, there's no Son, there's no Holy Spirit. Some say there's the Father, some say there's no Jesus, because Father never been married. None in the Bible say he's been married. And then Jesus was born in, because of fornication, and so he can't be our God. That's why the Jews never said, and said the Bible said he's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See? But they overlooked, they were so pretty, they overlooked and said, he's coming back in 2 points. He's coming back first to raise the dead, some, not all, and have the rapture. And we go up and we be with the Lord for 7 years, with the Lord 7 years. And when the rapture occurred, what happened is, say you and your husband in the bed or you and your wife in the bed, you believe in the Lord, but your spouse don't, you're faking it. You haven't really sold out like your spouse did. And when he come back for the rapture, he going to stop in midair, and then he going to shout. And an angel going to blow that trumpet. This is in the book of Revelation. And what's going to happen when an angel shout or blow that trumpet? And then the saved spouse will be changed in a twinkling eye. They will leave that that body. Well, the body will be transformed. And zoop, that go right through the ceiling, right up into the sky, along with millions and zillions of Africans, Mexicans, Chinese, Germans, and all the nationalities, all those who believe in God. And then we meet him in the air. Then they turn around and say, let's go home. Zoom. And the Bible say we'd be up there for 7 years. 7 years. And the first 3.5 years, what happened? The devil and all these people who never believed God. See, I told you, ain't no such Jesus. All your spouses are missing. Your children are missing. Your babies are missing. They're gone. Well, the devil, God took them out, killed them all. He goes, ain't no such thing. Ain't no such thing as being caught up in the air and everything else. God got rid of them. I don't know how he did it. But you wake up in the morning, find your wife gone, your husband gone, your children gone. God just got rid of them. You had teenagers. They weren't righteous. They were sinful. And God got them all. All us who got left behind down here, that's because he loves us. And we're the true Christian. That's a lie. Because when the rapture occurs, God's only going to bring up. He's going to say, come up. And the only one that's going to come up through that ceiling and through that roof and everything else is going to be those who really believe in him. And then we look at him and talk about he's going to be all nationalities, all, and they're going to be split 50-50. Then we go back and Jesus just fellowship with us and everything else for 7 years. But after the first 3.5 years, guess what? Then the devil going to break loose and he's going to manifest himself. And he says, well, the crazy Christians are going now. I am the king. And those who want to continue living, you will put the sign, my sign, S666 on your forehead or 666 on your hand. Those who reject the habit, I will have you beheaded. All that's in the book of Revelation. So if you're not raptured up when Lord come back for the saints and you get left behind, the devil will step in and say, now I am truly the leader of this world. And for you to live, you have to wear my number, 666, on your forehead and on your hand. And those who refuse to take the no, I'm not my husband. He told me that was a sign of the devil. I ain't taking that sign. I just going to have to suffer. And the wife may say the same thing. I know. And then the kids say, I know my mom and daddy were saying that, but I just did everything else. So you won't be able to buy nothing. Because when you go to the store and grocery store, Publix, or wherever you're going, the only thing, they don't want no ID card or anything. They want to see that 666 on your forehead or that 666 on your hand. And if you don't have it, you don't get to buy nothing. I don't care how sick you are, how medication you need, you ain't going to be able to get it. You don't go to the grocery store, you ain't going to be able to get it. You go to the barber shop, you ain't going to be able to get a haircut. You go to the beauty park, you ain't going to get none of that because you don't have the mark of the beast, the devil, see? And Jesus said, anybody, that's in the Bible too, anybody who give in and wear that mark on their head or on their forehead, I will rebuke them, reject them in front of my Father. I will deal with them. In other words, you're going to hell. He said, because what you did, you took the sign of the devil. If your butt was righteous and stuff and doing what I said before I came down there, your butts would have been up here with me. See? But no, you want to have a good time. You're too young to be so religious. You still want to party and have a good time. You never know when he's coming back, but the Bible says he is coming back sometime, you know, kind of a thing. So that's what happened. The rapture is going to happen, and it's going to be a seven-year rapture. You'll be up in heaven. And the first 3.5 years, the Bible says Satan's going to take over the whole world, and he's going to put out that Edom says, anybody who don't have the 666, my number on their forehead, on their hand, I will send my workers out to crucify you, to behead you. That's what the Bible said. And you walk around and say, I ain't going to wear no 666. I ain't going to hell. Because the Bible says, because all hell going to break loose for the 3.5 years. That's when Satan take over. But the last 3.5 years, no, I'm sorry. The first 3.5 years, Satan ain't going to see nothing. Everybody, well, them old Christians gone. Yeah, I heard something about something rapture. There ain't no rapture. God just took them out. Kill them all. There ain't no real Christian. We are. We can still fornicate. We can commit adultery. We can do anything we want. God love us. God hate them old religious fanatics. And that's for 3.5 years. Then finally, Satan's going to rise to being the king of the world. And then he's going to sit out and eat them. Eat it because it says, nobody can be able to buy food, eat anything, go to the store to buy clothes. You can't get medical treatment. You can't get no kind of treatment. No matter where you go, the first thing they're going to look at you when you walk up to the cashier, and the cashier will look at your forehead and don't see that 666 on your forehead, on your hand. And then the cashier says, sorry, can't take your groceries. Sorry, can't cut your hair, buddy. Before you can buy anything out of the store, you walk into a clothing store or whatever, they say, let's see the sign, please, because somebody can be at the door. You know, it'll be checked by electronic device, probably electronic, because, I mean, you know, we got electronic stuff for everything nowadays. And as soon as you'll be rejected, you can go to the grocery store, you can't go to the barbershop. And then when you go to the doctor's office, the doctor says, I ain't no food. I want to stay in business. And I want to feed my kids. I'm going to wear that 6 days. What calm would that do? And Jesus said in the Bible, because a lot of people don't read the Bible. They just go and listen to the preacher and go home. But in the Bible, it says, you wear that sign of the devil. He says, I will disown you. I will rebuke you. That kind of a thing. See? You can't. Hot dog, I still got 30 minutes. 30 minutes. So, the Holy Spirit, first of all, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, equal with the Father and the Son in essence. And since one of the major aspects of God's nature is that he is a person, because he's not an it, like I was saying, because most folks who don't believe in the Bible or not have their own theology talking about his it, because when God said, let there be, that was a part of the Holy Spirit creating the world along with Jesus. And Nick talking about, let there be God's nature. When he speaks, that don't mean that it's not the Holy Spirit, that God, these things came into being because God spoke it. Sure, God spoke it, but the Holy Spirit was in the process of manifesting the order of God. So they don't think he's a person. They think the Holy Spirit is it. They don't even believe in Jesus either, because they say, the Jews, especially the Jews, two-thirds of the Jews don't believe in Jesus as our Messiah, their Messiah, because they, in their Bibles, in our Bibles too, he shall come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But when the Bible said that, it was speaking about his second coming. His first coming, he came to what? To be a sacrifice for us, so our sins can be forgiven. But when Jesus came, they didn't know, the Jews didn't know that their Messiah was going, because they never read the New Testament. They just have their Testament. They have the Old Testament, but they don't have the New Testament. So they're not aware that the Bible said Jesus is going to come through a virgin. And then he's going to grow up as the Messiah. He's going to die for our sins so that we can go to heaven. And then he's going to be crucified. And after he's crucified, he's done what his purpose was for. He was born to die, to have sacrificial death that we may be saved, because nobody else can die for us. And then when he's on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. Well, sure, it's finished. I say, Daddy, I'm ready to come home now. I'm ready to come home. In 3 days, he was raised back to life. I'm ready to come home now, boy. And the Bible said, when he went back, boy, that was a party out of sight to see their Lord, all the angels, to see their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after he'd been gone for 3 years. He was gone for 3 years. And then he's back sitting on his throne. I guess I could see his daddy hugging him and everything else. Okay. The Holy Spirit also has the ability of will and the ability to exercise his will on us. By his own choice, the Holy Spirit can accomplish numerous specific acts, such as giving a spiritual gift. Remember I said, some he give the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of healing, the gift of this word, the gift of healing and all these stuff. And he knows our heart. He dispenses these gifts out to whom he may. Some people have the gift of healing. Some pastors can say, be healed in the name of Jesus, and that person is healed. I've seen in the church where a person had cancer lump on their chest, and the pastor say, sister so-and-so, go with sister so-and-so. She's been told by the doctor that she has breast cancer, that bump on her breast is not just a pimple or something, it's a cancer. And she starts screaming, how do you know this? The Lord just spoke to me, honey. And so when it's getting feel a woman's breast, you don't go, oh, my Lord, yes, there is a hump, a knot there, kind of a thing. He said, the Lord said he want to heal you. So he just told me about the Holy Spirit. Take this woman downstairs in the basement and pray for her and bring her back up here. She go back. And then, before you do, I want a couple of other ladies to go up there and touch the lady's breast and see that it is not a play game thing. And they look. Somewhere downstairs, and saw the lady's breast, saw a little lump, And he came back up, yep, she got one. And he said, all right, congregation, let's join hands. He said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would heal such and so and so and so on. You led me by the Holy Spirit to pray for this woman, and I know your voice because I am a disciple of yours. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command that cancerous not leave right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that cancer. Leave this woman's breast right now in the name of Jesus Christ, you demon. You ain't going to get rid of that lady. She's our sister and our daughter. She's our sister. She's the daughter of Jesus, our healer, in Jesus' name. It's done. And boy, having a woman running downstairs because this had to see it. They tested the woman's breast and everything, and she was jumping and screaming because the lump was gone, see? But God used people who really, really love him and believe that healings and all that stuff is still for us today. That's how we beat the devil. Crap, we don't have this no more. Healing is gone. We don't have that no more. That's how come you don't see it, because present-day ministers been jumped by their instructors. But you know what? They come into the light of God and say, tell them I love them. And he says to you, and I'm going to speak to the Lord right now. He says, if you put down that crazy thought about we have it written, sure we have, but we don't have no more healing on that. He said, I'll bless you, and I'll bless your congregation. I'll even build your congregation. And I'm not saying that just for the hell of an excuse expression, but God says, if you follow me and trust my word, you'll be blessed. The only reason you don't have the gift of healing, the gift of tongue and all, because you keep walking around there talking about we have this written word and you don't believe it. Now, mind you, you're not going to hell because you said he has written word. I'm just saying you're missing out on a whole lot of my blessing. Would you like to walk, would you like to look out there in the congregation and say, Sister so-and-so, come here. The Lord just told me that your husband left. Well, let me tell you something. Guess what, sister? Your daughter. The Lord has answered your prayer. You're talking about your runaway son, runaway daughter. And she said, how do you know that? I said, the Lord is speaking to me. Be quiet. He says, she done touched that woman's heart, that child's heart. She's 21, 22. She ran away when she was 18 years old. Guess what? I put it into her heart to want to come home. She's going to call you tonight at 9 o'clock and say, Mama, I want to come home. I want to come home, Mama. And boy, that woman started crying and screaming. Man, and then that next day, Pastor got a call and said, at night, she said, she got a call from my daughter. She said, Mama, could you meet me at the airport? You know, I'd be at the bus terminal. I don't have no money to catch no plane. I'll be there such and such a time in the whole church thing. She said, God, still, these gifts are still relevant. Just keep your mouth shut and quit saying we have his written word. Sure, we have his written word. God talks to us through his written word, but God also speaks to us through our spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit take over. I'm going to tell you how to resolve this problem. I'm going to tell you where you can find this. I'm going to tell you where you can find that and these kinds of things. So the Holy Spirit also has the ability and the will, an ability to exercise God's will and tell us what God wants us to know. By his own choice, guess what? The Holy Spirit accomplished numerous specific acts such as, what does the Holy Spirit do, Brother John? Such as giving. You may have also you have a spirit to give money to somebody when you're ducking all the time, you know, or to give somebody a special gift. And you know what? The Lord said, well, I don't know how that well, you know, kind of thing. I ain't got it. Shoot, you know, I ain't got that kind of money. The Lord just give you all kinds of things to do and tell you things to say, how to find things and all this stuff. And I want to say this too. Numerous women and men of God can't hear the Holy Spirit because, why? Why can't we hear the Holy Spirit sometimes? Because much confusion exists today concerning the person of the Holy Spirit. We are hearing all kinds of things. The person, the Holy Spirit is not a person. The Holy Spirit is it. When God says, come forth, or do this, or do that. And then the Holy Spirit is sort of like electricity. Go and make sure it's done. Like say, you may turn the switch on and say, turn on light. And you hit the flip, and then the light comes on. Turn light off. Well, the light turned off because you put your finger on the switch. Well, some think that when you say, God said, let there be this, let there be that, his voice is sort of like electricity. And Jesus, because the Bible says Jesus built all that stuff. And you guys say, it's like electricity. So they see the Holy Spirit synonymous to electricity when you turn the light on, which is unfortunate. And some don't believe Jesus is God his son because especially the Jews, where they say the Bible say he's coming as king. And they say he ain't coming back as a bastard. You know, he was born. Mom and daddy wasn't his mom and daddy wasn't married when he was born. He was birthed out of wedlock, kind of a thing. You know, so I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not it. It's the Holy Spirit is he's the one that give us a gift. He wanted to give people the ability to sing. Some people the ability to speak. Some people the ability to preach. Some people, you say, that child's so smart, that child just 8, 9 years old. You know, that's a gift from the Holy Spirit. You know that person will become a lawyer, a pastor someday. And then you look at some other people and say, how in the world, she still got a voice she can sing. And then you listen to some people got the oratorical ability, they can speak like a champ, you know, like gold coming out of their mouth. Then you got some people who are actors, some great actors. Then you got all these professions, some people who are counselors. And you got teachers who are dynamic. And you got teachers who got high code of who they know, but they can't teach us a plum nickel. But you see, so you know them teachers got that gift. You know them. Kind of thing. So it's the Holy Spirit that gives us these gifts. You got to remember, both liberal theologians, that's a liberal theologians, and extreme religious cults deny the personality of the Holy Spirit. Some liberals will acknowledge he is portrayed as a person, but claim the scripture is communicating a myth. Don't call the scripture a lie. So yeah, this is he, the host of it, but they're taking it out of context, you know. So you got to watch. That's their theology kind of a thing. But the Holy Spirit didn't have nobody write no lie in the Bible. But I don't like this part. I can't accept this one here. I like this verse, but I can't accept this. Better remember, it was the Holy Spirit that led those men to write that Bible, okay? If you can understand it, you ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. If you walk around and talk about it, I don't believe this part. That's gone today. And so. And the Holy Spirit say, what did he just say about my word? What did he just say? You know? The Holy Spirit said, well, he's going to have to give account for it when he comes up here before the throne. Because I say, you caused my people to sin. You caused my people to lie. You caused my people to, like one woman made me so mad. She made a pass at me. And I said, honey, I don't play that anymore. You know, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's fornication. But in my case, it'll be adultery. I ain't going to hell over your thing. And she said, oh, you're so religious. Why are you so religious? I said, I'm not religious. I have a relationship. Religion don't save anybody. You said, well, I got religion. I'm a Baptist. I'm religious. I'm a Catholic. I'm a religion. Religion, I'm saying, but sometimes I shut him out and say, who died on the cross? Your denomination? Your lifestyle? Kind of thing. I say, honey, ain't nothing wrong with being a Baptist. Not wrong with being a Catholic. Not wrong with being whatever. But you got to be sure you're in the right denomination. But you know what? Because there are saved folks in every religion except a few. That they're abominable, you know. You got some that don't even believe in God. Some don't even believe in Jesus. And them people can't, they're not being taught the truth, so they can't be saved. Because the only way you get saved is believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's the Messiah. But you still get off, you tell me, he ain't no Messiah. He ain't no other bastard. His mama, you know, I had him out of wedlock. You know, that kind of stupid stuff, you know. And he and somebody was born out of wedlock, they're born again and spirit filled. So I don't care nothing about born out of wedlock. If the person made a mistake, they made a mistake. The person could be a murderer and go to jail, and he might have 5, 6 weeks before he goes to the gas chamber, and then the chap would come by and speak to a minister and kind of work to him and say, you mean he's willing to forgive me? He said, yes, honey. Yes, sir. That's why he died, for all of us. You mean after I raped that woman and killed her 15 years ago, I still can go to heaven? God said, yeah, but you got to really repent. He didn't say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. He didn't say nothing about being sorry. He said, repent, which means you ain't going to do it no more, you know, kind of a thing. So that person confessed, and man, tears all the eyes and everything, and the Lord said, tell him he's saved. I said, you're saved, honey. The moment they put you asleep in that gas chamber, electrocute you, you're going straight up, put that injection in you to keep your heart from beating. Your spirit going to leave that old dead body and go right in, and that angel going to be right standing there in that room. They escort you home to Jesus. And then, oh, praise the Lord. See, that's the kind of God we got. He's willing to forgive. No matter what you did, it's better to repent. Okay. Well, another note I got, numerous women and men of God can't hear the Holy Spirit because much confusion exists concerning their belief and teaching. And like I said, you have both liberal, you know, theologians and extreme religious deny the personality of Jesus. Some liberals will acknowledge he is portrayed as a person but claim to have the Holy Spirit. But claim the scripture is communicating as a myth. I just said that a few seconds ago. And some people said it's the wrong church because that's the way they were brought up. That's the way they were brought up. And you got, like radical cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, knock on the door, you know, and they take the word wrong because when you say, I'm sorry, but I'm a member of church and I like my church. Well, you can go to hell then. They don't say that to you, but that's what they're thinking. But they don't feel bad when you reject them. Those are Jehovah's Witnesses, but you know what? There's a scripture in the Bible says, but they wasn't talking to Jehovah's Witnesses. They would say, the Bible say, when you go talking to the apostles, when you go knock on the door to share the word of salvation, they tell you to get the you know what out my door, or get off my porch or whatever. Don't feel bad. Just shake the dust off your hand because everybody ain't gonna get saved. So when them Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on the door, not, who are you? I'm sorry. And they don't feel bad because you kick them up the door. You don't let them in the house, period. And they go away, walk away, laugh. You know why? Because that's when they think they got another mark in the book to go to heaven. Because they working for Jesus. We get up on Saturday mornings, go knock on the door. See what we're doing, Jesus? Think they can earn their salvation. Lord have mercy. And so they're not embarrassed. They still smile when you tell them to get away from your house. They think, well, we did it. We witnessed on it. Whether they take it or not, I mean, whether they receive it or not, that's on them, not on us. We knocked on the door. Yeah, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Please. Now, dig this. I got about 20 more minutes. The Holy Spirit possesses a speaking way to communicate to each one of us as believers. Okay, and I want you to consider some of these things that I wrote down here. I got the Holy Spirit considers the Father to see how the Holy Spirit does communicate with believers. I got these things about okay, how the Holy Spirit communicates to us. I got one. He teaches us. This is John 14:26. The Holy Spirit can testify to us about Jesus at John 15:26. The Holy Spirit comforts us. He's like he's our comfort and he's our Lord. He comforts us. That's John 16:13. He commands us to do certain things. That's Acts 8:28. He intercedes for us when we need a problem, like we're about to go to jail and the judge say, so-and-so, and you think, Lord Jesus, you got to help me. I don't know how to defend myself because I got a buddy today. And they mistakenly they thought he was overran the speed and everything else, and they took him to court. And he came back laughing, boy, and crying. I said, what's the matter? He said, well, that old policeman lying on me, trying to meet his tickets, meet, you know, because they have, when they go out to office, because I know a friend is a police officer, and he said, the first thing the director tells me, when you go back, I want you all to be like, give out all those tickets. You hear what I'm saying? Get out all them tickets. In other words, the other person's speeding out. Look like he's speeding, you give him a ticket. See? So, and every time they go back, at the end of their work day, they have to show how many tickets that they passed out for speeding and stuff like that. I didn't know that just happened. One of my policeman friends was one of my friends. So the Holy Spirit can enlighten us. The Holy Spirit, I was talking about my buddy who went to the jail. He got to the judge and the judge said, well, sir, the judge lying. What, are you saying one of my patrol officers lying? I said, yes, sir. What's your proof? He said, and then the Holy Spirit told him to say this. That's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, well, sir, to tell you that, I'm a man of God. Well, I mean, I know a lot of them who are man of God, but I mean, you would have to question it because with their lifestyle, I see. He said, but I'm truly a man of God. He said, how you prove that to me? He said, do I know anything about you personally? No. He said, well, your full name is blah, 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 blah. Your wife's name is blah, blah, blah. You have two girls and a son. Your daughter's name is something, and their ages are blah, blah, and blah, blah. And your son, he's in college now, and his name is so-and-so-and-so, and he's majoring in legal authority, kind of legal, want to be an attorney. How do you know that? Sir, the Lord told me, and he don't speak to liars. Now, I told you that man just lied on me. He said, so you still going to charge me? The man said, get out of here. Go, get out of here. Now, everybody in the courtroom left because they couldn't believe what my buddy Emin Overton did. God revealed the man's personal life to him, told him what his name was, told him what his children's name was, told him what his birth date, even told him what his driver's license number was and his birth date. Told him all that right in front of him, in front of all those people sitting in that court waiting on their turn to go up before the judge. That's real. That's real. Because he sold out to God 100%. Okay? All right. So the Holy Spirit teaches us. He testifies to us certain things he wants to know. He enlightens us and, you know, he gives us information, stuff we need to know. We're sad because somebody died or we're sad because we didn't get that job. We're sad for whatever reason. He comforts us. I say your spouse bless y'all. I'm going, Mama, I don't need to come back. And, you know, you go and pray about it. And Lord said, don't worry about it. I'll bring her back. She just misjudged you. You know, he just misjudged you. And Holy Spirit commends us for jobs. Like in my case, I was looking for a job. And out of nowhere, I prayed God for a job. And God said, and I didn't know it was God. I thought it was my thinking. Like I said, just because you think it's going to mean you. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go out to Fort McPherson, which is an Army base. And I knew what it was because I used to be in the service. But I knew they had two personnel officers on a military base. They had one for the Army people, the military people, and they also have a personnel officer for civilians, federal employees. You know, and I go, yeah, I remember. And I went out there and guess what? I went out at the right time because that man, that white personnel director had 300 people working in his personnel office. And you know what? Out of that 300, not one was black. And the headquarters, personnel management downtown, called up and said, man, you got 30 years here. We're going to have to fire you, but if you don't get your act right, you got 300 people working for you, and you don't have one black or one Spanish working for you. Now, you either hire somebody, or you can get your butt down here and retire, or we'll fire you. And when he hung the phone up, because I felt led by the Lord to go, you know, I didn't think it was him. I just had a strong feeling. He goes, wait a minute. He's got a personnel office pavilion. I went out there. The man was glad to see me. He said, I hope you got what I'm looking for. I said, what? He says, do you have a college degree? I said, yes, sir. And he's trying to see if I'm itchy or not. Have you ever been in jail? You know, because I'm African American. I said, no. No? I said, I never even have a parking ticket, sir. A speeding ticket. Oh. He said, well, never been in jail. And you never. He says, but we don't hire non-veterans. Are you a veteran? I go, yes, sir. I was in the military, you know, for 3 years. What do you do? I said, I was a medic because they had a college degree. I was a guy that worked in the trauma department that when the soldiers come in and have eye examination on the helicopters, flies coming in, I said, examine the eyes. And they had to either pass it. They will not become a pilot or helicopter operator kind of thing. And he says, okay, what are you doing now? I said, I'm just a part-time teacher because I just got out of the military about a year ago, so I'm a part-time teacher, but this is not my lifestyle. And so he says, okay. So he says, you know what? I think I can hire you. And mind you, I was a teacher back in 1970. We was making $7,000 a year. And the man started me off with $16,000. I went from $7,000 to $16,000 a year job. So God gave me that job. And he interceded for us. Like I said, interceded for us. That's when I was talking to that judge. And he was, just because I was African-American, he's ready to take that man's word about our speed and all that stuff. And I said, he's lying. And he said, how can you prove it? I said, I'll prove it. You watch. I'm going to tell you about yourself. Because I said, I'm a child of God. And everything comes to attention. He said, so what does that mean? I say, listen. And I say, your full name is this, your wife's name is this, your children's name is this, this. And the man looked at me, almost fell out of his chair, and people stand up looking at me, oh my God. And so he said, get out of here, just don't go. You free, that kind of thing. I only got 5 more minutes, let's see. We can see the Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature. He communicates with us. Like I said, When we speak in tongues, that's not John Durden. That's the Holy Spirit. That's one time the Holy Spirit is speaking. You know, like the Lord tell me to say something, the Holy Spirit tell me to say, you need to do something. I say, hey, you need to do something, something. No, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through me, see. But when you hear me going, that's the Holy Spirit, that's not me. And the Holy Spirit is speaking in a different dialect. The Holy Spirit is speaking in a different dialect. I'm glad it's almost time to be the clunk out. My cell phone just say, low battery. So I only got about a few more things to say. So the judge decided to let me go. I mean, let him go. I did that one time. Let's see now. We can go in hearing the voice of God. So remember that. God wants us to hear him. And always just pray and meditate on it and watch our lifestyle. And then God speaks us through a still small voice, you know. This type of communication is really soft and gentle, the voice of God. You just have somebody whispering in your ear, you know, that do this, so. He says, girl, I'm going crazy. I'm hearing thoughts in my mind. This guy's still small voice. The Lord speaks in this way to give personal directions and talk to you. I got a little note here. I say, the Lord speaks in a still small voice. Is this his way to give personal directions? Personal guidance and personal encouragement. You might need some, and also these positive thoughts. Hey, wait a minute, what I feel said, oh man, I got the, wait a minute. And so. Not knowing the Holy Spirit is reminding you what he did for you, what the Lord did for you. Wait a minute, I don't have to take this from this chump, you know, kind of thing. Wait a minute, maybe I don't supposed to have the job. Maybe God got something better for me, you know, that kind of thing. So he encourages the Holy Spirit. And what else? He leads us, get us up to go, and let us know when we're engaged and stuff like that. And with all the varieties, the way he speaks to us, God can speak to his people. He often speaks within our spirit. Remember I said he speaks within our spirit as an inner voice. All of a sudden it sounds like somebody's talking to you. But think about it. He can tell you. And when the Lord is speaking to you, you hear your thoughts, you hear your voice, And so he goes, is that me or is that the Lord? Is that the Holy Spirit? But finally, Brother Emmett found him a tool where he can recognize the difference. Because he said, John, I finally got it after 7 years. He said, when I hear a voice speaking through my left ear, tell me, go this way. Don't do this. Do this. Do that. You find it here. You find it there. And see, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. He speaks to me through my left ear, but God trying to let me know. And when I hear an inner voice coming through my right ear, then that's Jesus. Because he said, for 7 years, I was hearing God. You don't hear God. I said, yeah. I said, because you've been teaching and preaching for the last 14 years without even writing a sermon. You're the only pastor, minister I know with a high school diploma can out-preach and out-teach anybody on this earth because you hear God. Because a lot of people think when they hear you teaching, they think I wrote your sermons. And they say, I know this. I mean, you ain't tricking me. I know John Durden like, no, you're preaching and your sermons and stuff like that. And I go, no, I can't take God's credit. But they say, it's outstanding, man. You teach like a theologian with that Bible inside out. There are times when the ministers would chance to come to that church and say, I'm going to, because you got my people thinking you all that. I want you to come to my church and I want to hear you teach in front of us. And so he said, I got to talk to the Lord. He said, I told the Lord. I just told tell you, no, huh? He told the Lord, I said, go. And you go, and the Lord would give him a sermon. And he sit there, and people be jam-packed in the church and say, look at this young man. He's in his 40s. He ain't never been a seminary. And every time they ask him a question, well, who said this in the Bible? Who said that? Hey, what does Romans 10:8 say? What does Jeremiah 29:11 say? Now, he ain't got no Bible here. Oh, it says, don't you know they have a plan for your life, plan not a calamity, a plan to give you a future and a hope. And when you come to me with all your heart and says to me, I will reveal myself. He's my Lord. He may give him something from Jeremiah, something from Psalm, and give him the chapter and the verse and tell him, what is that? And he ain't got a Bible in hand, and he quoted like he got the book in his hand. See, that's how he teaches, God telling him what to say. All right. So we have that still small voice. He speaks us that way. And sometimes we are not aware of his inner voice, you know, somebody whispering. And you're going, is that the Lord? Is that my thought? What? And sometimes as a result of being so, we dismiss his voice. We skip over his voice, not understanding that was the Holy Spirit trying to help you. I give you some, oh, Lord, the thing says 9 o'clock. Well, he speaks as the first person. I said, he speaks as the first person. That's God speaking to you himself. Sometimes God would speak to us himself, personally. And then he speaks to us in riddles, like he did in the Bible to his apostles. The reason sometimes he speaks as riddles is because he wants to figure it out. You know, sometimes he can say something and say, I quite don't understand. You know how, like, when you read a scripture, I don't understand this scripture. I think I'd go get me an IV or get me this kind of version, this kind of stuff. He did it like that because he wants you to think and he wants you to weigh it out. He wants you to analyze it and stuff like that. So that's just another way he spoke to you. I don't understand this scripture. It ain't going to mean nothing to me. That's why I come out on, like, the King James Version. I'm giving away my other version. But sometimes he got it written that way to get you to, he wants you to search it out and see what it means. That's what I mean by speaking dog speeches. He wants you to search out and see what it means. And then we receive thoughts. Yeah, yeah, this is the last one. Sometimes you have thoughts in your mind. Do this, do that, don't do this and do that. That's another way the Lord speaks to us. That's another way. Okay, and then God speaks to us personally sometimes. He speaks to us and you will know him. You know it's not the Holy Spirit. And you know the last way he speaks to us? By faith. You know how you read the Bible? I believe this. He said, thou shalt believe the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You know, and if we confess the Lord Jesus, then we'll be saved. You know, must confess the Lord Jesus with all our heart. Believe that he is saved, that he is the Messiah. If we believe that, then we can be born again. You know, we must receive Jesus, our Lord, say that we can be born again. We're looking at the word, and that's God talking to us. That's God talking to us. You're looking at the word, but that's still God talking to us. And we look at the Ten Commandments. That's God talking to us, because he wrote that, and he says, pass it out. And thou shalt not steal. That's God talking to us through his word. He's talking to us. So I want to end with that. And like I said, God had many ways. But for you to hear it, like you said, like you told me in the old piece of correspondence, don't be checking me out. Tell me, let me see if God still speaks today. Hey, watch your manners, watch your thoughts, watch your lifestyle. He says, body, soul, and spirit. If you got those three things right, you hear me all the time. And I want to say, thank you for hearing, listening, and God bless you all, and I wish you well. I love you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you all. It's something else I want to do, but I don't know where it is now, but I just want you to know he loves you with all his heart. And those who don't know the Lord, he want me to do this. There are a lot of folks out there, not a lot, there's a few out there who've been going to church, and some are pastors and some are deacons who are listening, some are church members who are listening, but some of you are not saved, and you think you are because you go to church every Sunday and you're tired and everything else. And he gave me a prayer. I had to write it down, and I want to read it because he said, I want you to read it. Those who don't know me personally, because he says, salvation is not going to church every Sunday. Salvation is not just trying to be goody good shoes and all this other kind of stuff, but nobody prayed it. He says, you can catch your prayer where you tell me you believe in me, and then you receive me as your Lord and Savior and confess that I am the Savior, that I'm the Messiah, and then you ask the Holy Spirit to come dwell within you. In other words, you must believe, confess your sins to me, and believe that I'm the Son of God and that you want me to save you. So say this prayer with me. I'm going to say it slowly, and then I'll be through. It says, repeat it to yourself. Father God, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation, knowledge, and understanding. And I want you to know that I believe that you are the Son of God. I am heartily sorry for having offended thee, and I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. But most of all, because I love you and I don't want to go to hell. So again, I tell you I am sorry for all my sins, known and unknown, that I may have committed. And I receive you now as my Lord and as my Savior. And I also pray, Father, that you would permit the Holy Spirit to come dwell within me, to guide my thoughts, to guide my ways and my lifestyle from this day on. So I confess with my mouth and believe my heart that I am now a born-again Christian, and I love you, and I am saved. And I will write it down this day, this hour, in my notes, wherever, that this is the day that I got saved. Thank you for your sacrificial death, Lord. And it's in your name I pray, give you thanks and all the praise. In Jesus of Nazareth's name I pray. Amen. God bless you all. Good night.